So let's start over. Agenda on the slide. So that's what I was trying, I thought you all were seeing. So we're going to switch those two. So to start off, we're going to do just a couple, some icebreaker questions just to kind of loosen everyone up and have an opportunity to get to know each other a little bit better. So we have kind of three questions that we want everyone to answer and kind of go around one time. So one, if you could make a documentary about anything, what would it be? So think about that. Second, would you rather travel back in time to meet your ancestors or to the future to meet your descendants? So kind of a quick and easy answer for that. Maybe not easy, but a quick one. And then lastly, to kind of jumpstart or get ready for our conversations for this year, potentially next year, what's your top priority to focus on for older adults in a COVID-19, post-COVID-19 world, and why? So, any questions about that?
I'm going to ask if people are not speaking, if they could mute, because I'm hearing a lot of background noise here.
Okay.
That was what I was going to ask. So thank you.
No problem. Chuck, do you think as chair, would you like to try to kick us off here and start us off on our questions?
Which one, do I have to pick one or do all three?
You got to do all three.
Oh, goodness. All right. So I hope everybody appreciates. I'm trying to buy you some time here. I get to be the guinea pig. If I could make a documentary about anything, what would it be? I'd love to make a little travelogue of my experiences in Laos. I think I've only been able to share a snippet on Facebook with people I'm Facebook friends with, but it's just to have some amazing experiences and some very unusual experiences. So that would be my documentary, is the travelogue journey of Chuck in Laos. Travel back in time to meet ancestors or meet future descendants. I'm kind of wondering if all of her have future descendants the way 2020 is going. If I had to go back in time, I would say that my dad, who is the genealogist in our family, has actually written two books tracing our family ancestry back to the 1300s or 1400s. And some of those ancestors fought each other in the Hundred Years' War. I wouldn't mind talking to them about what it was like to experience that conflict and what they thought about their rivals on the other side of the field. What's my top priority to focus on for older adults? As we're going to talk here, and I know Larry and I have talked before about this, is the kind of the isolation and communication with those who may not necessarily be great on technology, but definitely are missing the personal contact with friends and with the world. So that would be my responses. I hope I bought enough time for people.
All right, looks like Linda's ready.
And here I am. It was very easy, the first one. And I've had the opportunity to go to several people's houses in several counties and watch moms and dads and babysitters teach their children, AKA what the public school is requiring of them. And it is a hard road and a really disorganized and sad road. I've watched my daughter teach her children in Bellingham Public Schools, in her house, children here, my grandchildren, other friends. And I think that that would be my documentary, because somehow there is a disconnect between what we know about early childhood or children or K through 12 and in terms of a technology and what we're actually applying. So that would be it. And if I would, I'd go back in time because I lost my siblings when they were very young, and I would love to regroup with them. So that would be that. And what's the most important focus for the COVID in our age range that we're looking at? You know, I would flip the baby and I would say, instead of asking a lot of professionals, I would go out and interview. I would, you know, with my mask, I would go in restaurants. I would go in senior centers where they're not there. I would find them in Winco, in the day used bakery aisle where I am. I would find them everywhere and ask them, what is it that you need? Because I think sometimes we don't even know what we need, but I would really like to hear from them. And that's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone want to go ahead?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Okay, Larry.
Yeah, I guess the documentary, I'd like to go back, and I'm sorry I didn't do it. When I was in Vietnam in 1968, I had under my command 150 mountain yards, Laotians and Cambodians. Myself and a senior master sergeant were a combat company, a reconnaissance company. I had two interpreters. The rest of the individuals did not know how to speak English at all. You had to go through arm and hand signals. But that experience of working with a diversity of individuals with a common goal was just something to behold. Montagnards are very special folks. They're not well treated. It's still not well treated in Vietnam. I worked with the Jirai and Rade tribes, who are actually peaceful folks, but were being abused by the, at that time, the North Vietnamese as well as the South Vietnamese. But they fought for the Americans, and that's who they fought for. We paid them money and so forth. But it was an experience that's once of a lifetime, of operating with individuals with very little knowledge of the English language, yet the common knowledge was a bond of teamwork, of taking care of one another and a mission to accomplish. So that was an extraordinary. I've got pictures of it, but I often reflect back what happened to many of those individuals who wanted nothing in life but peace and to raise their family in their own country. The other part of that is, next part of that is the ancestors. I'd probably like to go back and do something, travel back in time, and my mother and father, who grew up in a very difficult time, during the Depression, and then, of course, after the Depression, going right into World War II. I don't think we can ever be appreciative of that generation and the sacrifices they made for this country. And I often, my dad served in the Navy, in the Pacific, during the war, and he would talk about it. But some of the battle scenes were pretty tough for him. But just, you know, documenting that and finding out what that's all about, because we're losing them all. And we don't have a real, I don't think, the younger generation appreciation of the greatest generation and what that word greatest means, because we wouldn't be where we are. The future of my descendants, I'd like to see where my grandkids go, especially going through 2020, 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, and what's going through their heads right now. Is this the world they're living in? Pandemic, economics, the politics, smoke, fires, earthquakes, and so forth. You know, it's pretty stressful for young kids right now to deal with this and wondering, is this life? Is this what I'm going to grow up and inherit? So it'd be interesting about that. Top priority is, I've got a friend who's at Cascade Inn. I just visited him last week. He's 101 years old. Carl is very articulate, been around, he's a World War II veteran and so forth. but he often mentions that his hope, his life has been worthy. He worries about his contribution to society at 101, whether he did good or not good, and making the community better. He's very conscious about it. In fact, he travels to Castle Rock to visit his high school every year to make sure that those kids have an appreciation of what they have and their future. So that's it.
Thank you. Amy? You're muted. Here, I got you.
I want to put there the first two questions together. I'd like to travel back in time to meet my ancestors. I knew my grandmother. I knew a lot about my great-grandmother. I want to go back before that, and I want to interview them and make a documentary about what it was like to be a woman and what it was like to be a mother in their era. And their era, as far as I know, goes back to Tsarist Russia, and I'm sure a lot more before that. I'm just very curious about how they coped with things that, you know, I have to cope with, but I cope with them with computers and, you know, all kinds of stuff they didn't have. So that would be my documentary. What was it like to be a mother and a woman in, I guess, the late 1800s and before? My top priority to focus on for older adults is isolation. And Chuck, you mentioned technology for communication. And I have a report to give during this meeting from the ADRN meeting I went to, where there's some fabulous new technology being used for lower income older adults who don't have computers and maybe don't know how to use computers, but there is stuff, and it's very exciting. That's all.
Thank you. Franklin, did I see you ready before?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. To answer number one, I would like to make a documentary. My wife and I used to do some mentoring. We haven't been able to do much in this last several months. But I would like to make a documentary about my life, not because it's special, but I learned so many lessons. I was really kind of narrow-minded as a kid, and I was able to have a lot of experiences because people either cared about me or twisted my arm or pressured me to do things that I didn't want to do. And after I did them, I really learned so much and enjoyed them. And I'd like to use that documentary as kind of a recruiting tool to help kids to be to grow up to be more open-minded to exploring things that they don't like or have no interest in, because that's what I ended up doing against my will, and it was really beneficial for me. I like to travel back in time to spend time getting to know my grandparents. I knew them growing up, but I didn't really get a chance to have conversations and ask the kind of questions that I would ask now. And I would be particularly interested in how my grandparents raised my parents. My parents made so many sacrifices for me. I was the first one in my immediate family to graduate from high school, go to college, to get an advanced degree. And growing up, I kind of took a lot of that for granted. You know, my parents made education really important to me, but I didn't really appreciate all the sacrifices they were making to do without, to send me to good schools, to pay tuitions and things like that, and how much that's benefited me and how much I appreciated all the sacrifices. So I'd like to know what kind of an upbringing they had to make them be so focused and willing to sacrifice for me. In terms of the COVID, I would like to be able to just spend time with seniors, the older the better, to just spend time with them, give them a little companionship and listen to their stories. I've learned so much just listening to people and trying to understand their lives and how they looked at things that sometimes are very different from mine. And it's been very enriching for me. And if I could have my choice to be able to do it safely, I'd like to just be able to sit down and spend time and listen to their stories. That's it.
Thank you, Franklin. I think I saw Pam had raised her hand. Are you ready, Pam?
There we go. So if I could make a documentary about anything, I'd like to make a documentary about the trials and tribulations of a student in a nursing program, because I don't think the public fully understands, number one, what nurses do. And they don't have probably a clue as to the rigor and strenuousness of getting there through their education. And if I could travel back in time, I would like to go back and bring my grandmothers, because I didn't know either of them very well. I would like to go get them and bring them forward in time to meet with my daughters and daughters-in-law, so that we could talk about changes and influences in our lives and those sorts of things and have that mutual sharing. And I think the top priority for me for number three is the issue of engagement and re-engagement and how that may be cross-generational or healthy older seniors working with seniors who may be more isolated. So there's my three.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have, I think, three left. Megan, Nancy, and Tanya. Anyone want to go next? Nancy? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Note to self, unmute first before talking. the documentary I would make, which is really very big in my head right now, like taking up a lot of space, is a sense of community that we had before and how it's being eroded due to technology, due to COVID, due to just the world changing as it is right now. And how do we repair it? I'd love to see like the progression of what community was like 100 years ago, what was like when we were growing up and what it is now, you know, because now everything is down to like a click, a swipe, an emoji. And there's more people and we have more friends, but we feel more isolated than ever. And I think the fallout of this whole COVID thing is going to be considerable. The mental wellness fallout is going to be considerable. So I just like to, you know, drill down deeper and learn more about that and just see, interview different people, from people that are older to young people, and see what their perspectives are. I think that would be interesting. As far as travel back in time, I definitely would like to go meet my ancestors, because my dad's originally from China, my mom's from Taiwan, and they had very, very different experiences growing up in China. My grandparents, they're farmers, and like, you know, barefoot farmers, and versus my Taiwanese ancestors who were mixed blood, that they were colonized, they lived through Japanese occupation, and very, very different. They're close geographically, but very different experiences. And I love to just kind of talk to them and ask about their challenges in the past and what their wish for the future generation to be. And, you know, for example, like, what did they wish inventions would help their lives at the moment, you know? That was before phones, before washing machines, before refrigerators, before cars, before all of that. So I'd love to, you know, just kind of learn about that. As for top priority, it's connected to the documentary that I like to make. It's about community and isolation, especially within the context of our group, the Commission on Aging. I think this is a really serious problem. Like, just within my circle, I know three people have taken their lives. Not specifically due to COVID, but really more about Black Lives Matter, their lives matter, senior lives matter, and all of, you know, just it really puts you on an existential plane and really ask, you know, what is the meaning of life if you're not able to connect with other people authentically on a deep basis. So that's, I really love to, I've heard that from a couple of other people and talk about isolation. So that's really big on my agenda. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Tanya or Megan, want to go next?
I'm ready. We'll let Tanya be the finale. My documentary would be about blood donation, because I think it's one of the things that we don't really understand as Americans. When I worked in New York City, employees got half a day off to donate blood to curb the cost of buying blood products from different nonprofit organizations, and when people give blood and our blood supply, and kind of also into organ donation and how much that would revolutionize healthcare. So that's a big documentary. I definitely would pick my ancestors to go back and meet my great grandmothers and some generations back there. I think one of the top priorities, just to add on, I agree with a lot of the things that have been said, but I am also very, very concerned about immunizations and the vaccine when we have it, and seniors combining that with the flu and risks, and how we are going to get the vaccine to the hardest, most vulnerable aging populations who need it the most, and how we accomplish that.
Thanks. So I don't know. This is not the grand, not the grand finale by any means. It stinks, because you guys, there's some fantastic ideas. So my documentary, I'm going to say it would be called the Panini Generation. So you've heard the sandwich generation. I'd like to call it Panini because I feel very much squished here. How families are coping with caring for parents and then caring for their children, raising their kids, and really show success stories, not just the challenges, so that families will have hope as they go through this. So where would I, what would I do? Travel forward, travel back? Well, I'm going to travel back for sure. I think it was Chuck, you said, yeah, who knows if there are going to be descendants. So travel back. I wouldn't want to meet anybody though. So this is my little, I'm not going to answer your question. I'm going to answer my question. I would just fly through time and be an observer, literally a fly on the wall. I want to see, like, literally from the Stone Ages to today, who are my people? Like, who are they? And just observe and you know, with pride. Don't want to be the butterfly effect person and meet them and then screw everything up for the future. Okay. And then last question, what would I do? Top priority, it always for me, it's meaning and purpose, 100%. And I think that kind of sums up what many of other folks have said, but it all ties into that. Why do people still want to exist and find joy and thrive in life? That's it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all. Great answers. No one wanted to go to the future, so that's interesting. I hope that kind of got everyone's juices flowing so we can kind of get into more of what we're going to get going on and how we're going to get there. So meaning and purpose.
Becky, like, make sure you have to answer too. That.
No, we don't have time for Jenna and I to do that. We'll have you offline, but we're going to move on. Okay, let's see. This is for you guys. So, Franklin, did you have a question?
No, I just had a suggestion. I don't know if I missed it or not, but I don't know if it's ever been like a team building for this group. And just listening to the snippets of the answer to these three questions, it would be nice to have about, 15 or 20 minutes to listen to each person in more detail and ask questions about some of the things that they've done in their life or get to know them better. You know, I'm fascinated by Chuck's experience in Laos, Larry's experience in the war, and some of the things that Megan has said, and all of them. So just a thought that someplace in the future, if we can work that out.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So I'm just going to kind of keep going through here. And when we get to parts where we want, you know, some input, feedback, why don't you all just raise your hand and we can call on you and to unmute yourself and we'll just have a discussion that way. This, we provided you in the email that spreadsheet that shows all of the strategies that were in the aging readiness plan by topic, as well as the recommendations that have been developed over the past several years through the annual reports on the focus areas that match the aging readiness plan. So it's a lot of stuff in there. It's more of a tool so you know, people as we get new members, they can kind of see where we've been. We are reminded, those of us have been around, what, you know, has happened. So we're just gonna keeping track of things. I'm adding stuff that maybe aren't just since recently, like we had I think Marjorie emailed me to let me know that, the La Center, city of La Center had passed a cottage housing ordinance recently. And although it wasn't specific, like something specific in our housing report, we talked about different types of housing at that La Center meeting. And they approached us afterwards, one of the planning commission members was like, can I get more information? Could you help us with that? So I'm putting all even that stuff in because it was related. And we because of the conversations we were having, we connected some dots for some people. So it's there as a tool. We weren't planning on getting into it today, just kind of you have it, we'll continue to update it. But I wanted to see, you know, open it up if there was any questions about that we could answer. Does anyone have any questions about that spreadsheet?
So I'll jump in. This is a comment I made last year as well. I'm noting the date of the report, February of 2012. Linda, I think we're getting some background from you. Thank you.
I was raising my hand. I'm sorry.
Oh, do you want to? Okay. I was going to say, looking at the date of this report or the plan, which is February 2012, we're in the getting into the ninth year of that plan. And I guess probably next year, I'd like to put on the table the thought about, is it time to refresh or even update the plan as it gets to be 10 years old? Because that gets to be, I'd like to view this as a living document, but I also like to view this as a document that needs to periodically be refreshed or updated to reflect just changes in society or technology or policy direction.
Okay, Pam?
Slows me down going unmuting myself. As part of that, Chuck, I'm wondering if we could also then talk about what various communities have done since this report was established, like the cottage industry or whatever it was that Jackie was talking about, so that readers are updated on not only is this a report and it's a living, breathing document, but because of it, changes have really occurred. That's it.
Thank you. Linda.
Here I am. I agree with all of you, and I think that even we may want to, we've hit almost all of the areas that were prioritized by the committee that developed that. And I think it may even be time, we're pretty much finished with that in my mind. And I think we may want to actually think of a whole new, what do we need to be doing now? I mean, we don't always have to have an aging readiness plan. We best be ready because aging is here, you know. So no longer are we waiting for a whole bunch of old people. We're all here in a line for you. But I think that all of you are right. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't pay to update a 2011 document, obviously. And I think that, I also think very strongly that we need to ask the counselors, what is it that they wish of this committee? They certainly will have and have told us at times, not often, when they have not been as excited about maybe a direction we went on a particular thing, or we had gotten in the habit of doing speakers at the end of the year. And that really, that kind of formats people coming in and educating us and the public about different facets of aging. And then we would have a keynote, and that worked really well, I thought, but maybe we fell into a rut, you know, in terms of that. So I'm with you all. I even take a step further in thinking we must first ask the counselors, because we report to them. And for us to think on our own that we know what they're thinking is would be futile, I think. So that's my two cents.
Okay, thank you. Amy?
I have a couple of thoughts. One is, I think it could never have been imagined in 2011, but we may have a responsibility to focus the year on aging in Clark County in the era of COVID. It's going to change everything. I mean, it has changed everything. So that was one thought I had. And the other was, it'll come back. That was one thing.
Okay. Thank you. Franklin.
I like the idea that that was proposed, but I would like to suggest that we kind of have a bit of a compromise. I often hear people talk about this is not going to be the last pandemic. And so maybe that's something that we need to look at incorporating into our thinking as we look at how to either do a new plan or modify the existing plan. And I think there might be some aspects, some different components in this plan that we might want to keep and update. And then others we might want to, you know, throw out and move on and add new items to. But I think it might be smart to kind of think about this might not be the last time we go through something like this, and to position our older communities so that they're better prepared to cope in the future might be a significant thing to do.
Okay. Anyone else? Amy.
I thought of the other thing, and it piggybacks on what Pam was saying. We were ready, have been getting ready, and are ready to do outreach more directly to the seven cities. And that could be a focus for a year. What does each city need? What does each city want? What is each city doing already? And I think that would be a good, if the council was interested, that would be a good, something good to summarize for them at the end of the year.
Jackie?
Yes, yeah, Larry.
I just don't want to, as we go through this, and I think all of us have mentioned this, is the lessons learned. Every community is different and operates differently and so forth, but it's important to lessons learned. Because we'll have a tendency, as this gets better, this virus, and we get a vaccine, to go back to what we call normal. But I'm one of these individuals feel like this could happen again. And having those lessons learned and things in place that we can move forward, especially as they apply to our senior population. And it makes us more prepared. And I think it's what we're being said, but it's so important to capture those lessons learned.
Great, thank you. Okay, anyone else on this topic? Nancy, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so to kind of add on top of what everybody else is saying is, instead of saying growing older in Clark County, you're right, we're here. It's just, you know, living as an aged person in Clark County, and then putting in infrastructures or recommendations of what we're learning this year. I agree with Larry. If it's not this pandemic, it'll be something else. I think we owe it to ourselves to be prepared. And for example, this fire, you know, what if you don't have a smartphone? How are you alerted? What if you don't have emails? So to come up with some kind of infrastructural system that would help the elder population stay connected, fed, safe, and not be isolated. I think maybe coming up with a revised version, like a 2021 version, because so much work was done to it, to throw the whole thing out would be kind of wasteful. There are probably certain things that are still valid, but let's just add to it and, you know, of things that we're learning this year.
Okay, thank you. Linda, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yes, I did. I was piggybacking off of Nancy when she was going over those things, made perfect sense. And even most seniors, as we age, take a lot of medicine. Like I say, I didn't do drugs in the 70s, so I could do them now. And I do. And for those of us who have to take it several all through the day to maintain our best self, it's where do they go? What happens in an emergency? I mean, I'm sure that there's protocols. So I really think that that's a good idea. I also think that because I've been here for all of this in the last almost 5.5 years, for this part, I feel like I have history with it. And all those line items I read, Jackie, I saw like some things that I really wish I knew more about. I remember under housing, we looked on housing and we saw that when you go online to look at a house, you could see if it was handicapped accessible. But then we found out that none of the none of the realtors used it or weren't even trained on it. And then we also found out, and this was even more interesting, that people call themselves a senior housing specialist. And we found out you could just make up at that and give yourself a diploma because it didn't appear that any two people had the same, qualifications. Do y'all remember that? So I think there's going to be some value in us looking back on some of those things, and we may have to just have you as staff kind of sift those out so that we can see if they have a place in our new plan. Okay. I'm out.
All right. I saw Nancy first, and then we'll go to Amy. Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah. As far as certification, there actually is a certification as part of the realtor's continuous education. There is one. Earth Advantage Institute actually has one. NAHC also has one, you know, for aging in place or, you know, elder specialists. I don't remember exactly the name, but there is one. So if they're calling themselves erroneously, you know, as an aging specialist, you can ask for their certification because that's a real thing. So just FYI.
Cool, thank you. Amy.
I don't know. Oh, here it is.
Oh, you muted it, there you
go. I the first pandemic that was in my life was polio. And I was in the first kindergarten that was vaccinated against polio. And I know a lot of people now my age who have what's called post-polio syndrome. And nobody really knows what post-like case of COVID is going to be like. And I think that we might want to look at the history of what happens after you've been sick. Not with everything, but with this virus. Because polio is a virus and it has not gone away. Well, it has gone away in terms of new cases, but the people who are left with the ravages of polio are still left with it.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we've got some good feedback on what kind of ideas for refreshing the aging readiness plan and learning or updating and taking a look at what's been in there. So keep all of those ideas in mind because I think some of it you're going to want to talk about for what you may want to do the rest of this year or next year. So bring those back up when we get to that as well. So Jenna's taking notes. We're going to have all this together as, you know, a summary for us to go over next month as well at our work session. So we can kind of follow up and make some decisions as well. We don't have to do everything tonight, today. We can follow up in October for some more direction on that, if that works for everybody. Okay. All right. Moving on to 2020 goals and outcomes. So as you all recall, this year was supposed to be our community engagement and advocacy year, where we were going to go out to visit all the cities and have joint Commission on Aging City Council meetings, hear from the elected officials about what's going on in their community, but also the hope was to hear from those that live in those cities or near those cities, if they're in the rural areas, about what's important to them and what they would like you maybe to focus on, or what changes they would like to see within their communities. Of course, that did not happen. So part of that was also going to be the updating them, giving them that Healthy Communities annual report update. When we spoke in August, you all gave us some feedback as to maybe for the rest of this year to really ramp up and start learning about the resources or local issues that are affecting older adults right now related to COVID-19. And so the commission can understand, as well as maybe provide or raise awareness of those resources to more the larger community, to kind of be that maybe megaphone or, voice to educate those that may be looking for that information. So Jenna and I have come up with, if you have 3 board meetings this year, so October, November, December, do we, go back to how we have in the past and done, heard from local organizations about what's happening on the ground here. So with that in mind, we came up with kind of 3 topical areas. One was access to food, supplies, and medications. How are our older adults getting that? And I've got some kind of more specific summaries of each of those that I want to share with you all, so you can let me know what you think. So housing, and then on the isolation piece. So some questions that we would want to provide to anyone that was going to come speak to the commission would be something like, what are you seeing and noticing when you're going out there and providing services to older adults or providing them resources or speaking with them? What are available and what resources and services are available that the public should know about? Where do you see the greatest need for help? What can the public, local, or state elected officials do to help? So kind of still, taking on that community engagement lens and advocacy that was planned for this year, but kind of, funneling it down to, COVID-19 kind of right now, what can we do? So I'm just going to go through and share with you what we've come up with as more specifics on each of those topics. So we've got, access to food, supplies, and medications. I did some initial research, and there was the National Organization of, Aging Organizations did a survey on organizations that provide services to older adults, and we'll share all that with you as well, but I think it's a good starting point of what they were seeing kind of nationally about what was the challenges that older adults were facing and organizations that serve them. So kind of using them as some information as to inform some of these topics. But as the proposal here, the Commission on Aging will hear from local community organizations that assist and or provide older adults everyday needs, such as delivery of food, supplies, and medications. The commission wants to hear about how COVID-19 has impacted the older adults they serve, and if they have had to modify how they provide their services. And then a list of the agencies that we would like to contact. We don't know if we'll, it may not be all of them that we get to come speak with us, but maybe a combination of them to let you all know what's going on their end and what they know. So that's kind of the proposal for this one. Does anyone have any feedback or questions or anything they want to share with us or about this idea?
Just this is Tanya. Can I say something? I'm sorry. I don't know if you can see me or not.
Sorry. Yeah.
No problem. I think what would be really interesting to me is to either visualize or really understand the ecosystem of where different pieces fit in. So when you're looking at food supplies, medication, does the food bank see themselves as a solution to the medication side? I anticipate the answer is going to be no, but maybe the answer is not no. I don't know. So how do all the pieces kind of link together, if that makes sense? And then how are things working well? Because everyone wants to highlight the beauty of their program. Where are they getting caught up? So where could a potential additional solution or partnership or something really help them achieve their best effort or best outcome? So it's really the synergy of things. And I love the idea of the names that you've listed. I just have to pause and wonder, who might we be forgetting? Are there other entities or organizations, or, you know, it doesn't have to be community-based organizations. Maybe some of the other either private or nonprofit systems that are in play. What maybe we want to hear from them as well.
Definitely. Sonia, do you know of any or have any in mind or have any ideas on who we could kind of look to for that?
Well, I know there are a lot of health systems that are trying to work on similar issues, right? So, I mean, it would be really shocking to hear if any health system is not trying to. So that's just one example. So that's one. Two, you know, I assume there's going to be some grassroots or organizations. I'll throw one out there. I'm working to support a family community resource center in Camas and Washougal. Lovely, lovely human being who leads that program. And she sets up regular meetings with churches. So would churches fit into this equation as well, right? And the other FCRCs that are out there. So those are just two things that have kind of like that I'm thinking of right now that might be some people to invite or consider.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, Amy, go ahead.
One of the things that I've experienced is when there's a disaster, meaning people are out of their homes and they're in a shelter and they don't have access to their usual ways of getting things like medication, the Red Cross sets up relationships with pharmacies that will fill prescriptions in that kind of circumstance. So that would be a matter of contacting the disaster specialist at Cascade Red Cross. And I can make that connection if you want.
Thank you.
And they also do that for eyeglasses.
Okay. Chuck, I know you were gonna say something before.
Yes. I guess a couple things. One is my wife is on the steering team for the Clark Neighbors Food Project. And we just had in August the last collection and dropped off at various pantries and Fish. And one thing that the representatives of Fish mentioned was they've had a kind of a reduction in the number of clients, as they call them, or customers for the aging population, but also volunteers. And a lot of the volunteers at these organizations are also older adults. So I'd like to maybe expand that into what trends have they seen that we can discuss, as well as are there issues with support infrastructure, such as volunteers, or, you know, Larry could talk about Meals on Wheels, as I know that a lot of their volunteers are older adults as well.
Good point. Okay. Larry, did you have something?
Yeah, just to add on to what Chuck just said. Yeah, in fact, the Meals on Wheels, because of the weather conditions and the smoke, canceled all meals delivery in Clark County because it's mostly not so much the clients, it's the volunteers, because most of the volunteers are in their 70s. And it's a consideration of putting them on the road and getting out of the car and delivering the meals. So they canceled it. So it is a huge challenge because volunteers are, you know, not only do they have the air quality, it's a pandemic as well. For a while at the Fish Pantry, I'm on the board at Fish Pantry, we couldn't get the volunteers to come back. And still you got the good protocols in place and the volunteers are okay with that because, as I said, your volunteers are the ones who are in the 70s, and they're your hardcore volunteers that come out just about every week and very dependable. But we've been able to overcome that because of the protocols in place now. But as I said, you can see the weather impacts. I mean, seniors are just very vulnerable to the impacts of any kind of weather. And the organization, especially nonprofits, which all depend on volunteers, it's a challenge.
For sure. Okay, I see Tanya, your virtual hand up. Did you have something else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's a curiosity question. Under this topic, number one, or maybe a future topic, should we have literally a topic that is disaster planning? So if it's a pandemic, if it's a fire, if it's a flood, if it's a tornado, who knows what's going to hit us next?
Right.
You know, what is that? What do we want to make any recommendations in that arena, and how do we trigger that phone tree or whatever it's going to look like?
Good point. Okay, Franklin.
Yeah, I think Tanya makes an excellent point, because one of the biggest challenges that I've observed working on fires and recently is evacuation protocols, and the able-bodied are going to, you know, hightail it on their own, but we need to look at some kind of fail-safe plan for addressing evacuating our seniors, especially those who may not be as mobile as others, so that they don't get left behind in a situation like a fire or an earthquake or any other natural disaster.
Very good. Anyone else? Nancy?
It's really more a question. It says, we'll hear from local community organizations. So are we going to reach out, kind of canvas these organizations, and like, or are we going to invite them in and give presentations? Like, what format will this?
Sure. Good question. We were thinking of, you know, making contact with these organizations, see who would be available to come speak and present and kind of inform you and have you all be able to ask questions. So at, you know, one of your WebEx remote meetings, have that presentation to you with the public comment period and all that. Okay. All right. If nothing else, Amy, yes. You're still muted.
I was saying I'd like to be a point person on disaster preparedness. Red Cross has presentations that are oriented towards the elderly, the disabled, people from different language services. I mean, it's really well put together, and we don't have to reinvent it. And they're really happy to do outreach because they don't want the kind of situation Franklin was talking about, where there are people hobbling down the road with one crutch and saying, I don't know where to go. It's important. And Red Cross is our national disaster response service, and I think we should use them.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to move on to the next one, unless there's any other questions. Housing. So this has to do, so I'll just read it and then we can talk about it. The housing issues and challenges for vulnerable older adults during COVID-19. The Commission on Aging will hear from local housing organizations and assisted care facilities on how COVID-19 has impacted older adults and housing. So we've got, of course, Vancouver Housing Authority has manages several senior housing buildings. We have the Council for the Homeless can talk about older adults and homelessness during this time. Then we, of course, have like the assisted living facilities or the nursing care facilities that were greatly impacted, you know, with COVID-19, especially at the beginning, to hear from them. So this can kind of be, it can be a wide range of topics within housing, the affordability, just the conditions, you know. I remember at the very beginning, I was on an initial call with the Vancouver Housing Authority and all, and Meals on Wheels and all those that were providing services to seniors and, you know, how they were navigating with the COVID-19 on how to get resources to people. There was issues at that time where the mail wasn't being delivered to certain facilities. They wouldn't go in. People weren't getting their medications. So, I mean, it can be all kinds of things that I'm sure that they did have to navigate and figure out. But there's probably a lot more that we can, of course, learn about and see where there is more need. But that's kind of where we started. So anyone have any questions or feedback on housing and what you want to hear or what you want to learn about? Pam.
For these organizations like assisted living, is there a central spokesperson for that set of folks?
Yeah, you would ask that. And to my knowledge, there is not, but maybe someone else on the call here does know. The only person that I know that from just working in the past with the Commission on Aging and coordinating was that there was a coordinator of the people that various staffers that worked at different assisted living facilities for like recreation activities that all would meet kind of monthly or at least regularly. And they kind of, so it was the only kind of coordinated group I knew of those private facilities that were at least talking to each other. So that was going to be kind of my first contact, was to be like, you know, what do you all think? You'll have someone that might want to come speak to this, but we are open to suggestions on other things. But to my knowledge, I don't know of any group that is like that. Linda.
I think that the ombudsman program would be a real good one because the cadre of volunteers go to the local assisted livings and memory care centers and facilities. And although, and they really do have a lot of information, and I know Neil, the director of that program, would have a lot more information about that. Any of them would be great to contribute to that topic.
Cool, thank you. Nancy?
Yeah, so I'm looking at it from more of a long-term perspective. What I'm about to say is that because of the, we learned that a lot of the death rate were pretty high in the senior housing facilities, just because of the nature of them being grouped together. I think there's probably going to be a trend of people who want their elder family members to be closer and not so much put them in homes. And so I think from an ADU builder standpoint, I think to have some kind of either a tax break or some kind of financial incentive or ease of zoning for buildings, secondary dwellings, ADUs, and the such, I think that probably needs to be looked at, because right now, I know Vancouver is a little easier, but Clark County is certainly not on the cutting edge of allowing higher density, residential density. So that's something that I think we need to look at, because I think it will be a growing trend of not putting their elders in a facility, but live in their backyard, or have the elders live in the backyard and have their, you know, grown children raising their family in the main house. So.
Good point. Thank you. Anyone else on this one? Tanya.
Thank you. I recently learned about the Camas Housing Action Plan committee, maybe bringing them in to speak to share what their lessons are, or what they're learning as they are building the plan up in the air, could be useful, but also to help them remember that we're here could be useful.
Good point. And I'm also going to be participating on that, for representing the county. So I'll make sure that I always keep the Commission on Aging lens in mind when I'm participating. But that's a good point. And just we are also doing a housing project that will get going here in the fall. So more to come on that as well. Amy, I see your virtual hand up. Did you have something to add to this? No? Okay. All right. Anyone else before we move on to the next one? Okay. So the last one, if we do like the three for the rest of the year, isolation, which I know came up a lot in our icebreaker activities. So the impacts of isolation and lack of socialization for older adults during COVID-19, the Commission on Aging will learn about the impact of COVID-19 has had on the mental health of older adults and hear about what services and resources are available to combat isolation. So just some organizations that we know of, just off the top of just knowing and working with the commission over the years, as well as we did reach out to some of our partners and those that we were hoping that could provide us some more information. We got some feedback from public health. That gave us some other ideas. The Area Agency on Aging, Megan took a look at it as well. So we know that there's a couple programs, like there is a senior wellness check with the county sheriff's office that I didn't really know much about. I don't know if you want to learn more about that. And then some of the other kind of mental health or resources or organizations that are here in Clark County that are and could be assisting and providing resources. So this is kind of where we are, what we have now. Anyone have any other ideas or thoughts on this one? Tanya?
So I'm just going to go back to one of the original things I said is, as we look at different organizations, there may be some more health systems that are doing things, or even health plans that might be doing some things. So I know that while I was at United, they were doing some of this. I don't know that United has a great presence here, but we just might want to explore that so that we keep a broad view. The other thing, the question is more of a question to this group, is would we consider actually going outside of our county? Let's say even like maybe to London. So I'm actually being serious on that, because they in London, or I don't know, I think it might be all over the UK, have something called the Silver Line. And I don't know if we have something like the Silver Line here at all, but everybody knows the Silver Line in the UK. So is that something that we could learn from and maybe inspire our community to take a flag and build it? Here. I don't know. So that's just a thought.
Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? Nancy?
What is the Silver Line? Would you elaborate for a second?
Sure. So I will be as succinct as I possibly can. It came out of a woman who was actually very famous. I don't remember her name, unfortunately. But she had a very public death in her life. Her husband died, and she would go to these various events, and she'd say, "I'm fine," but she would always go home alone to her house, and she was horribly depressed and really felt like no one cared, despite having relatively strong social connections. Through that experience, she contacted a few friends and said, "We need to do something because I can't be alone in this." And they started a nonprofit organization that helps that people volunteer across the UK to simply make wellness calls to seniors. And seniors can call in, and there are some really striking stories. Really striking stories that they shared. One senior saying they have nobody at all in their life, and they're not feeling well, and this may be the last person they ever talk to. As one example of really like just having that need and that that sense, I've got to have a human connection. So it's well known, it's well organized, and it is relatively well funded because of the impact that they've had. I hope that that helps, Nancy.
Megan.
I just want to add one other cool UK thing. They have a ministry of aging, a minister of aging. So they've like made it a priority at the highest governmental level, which really says something. And I don't know, again, if there's an appointment of like a czar of aging or something that, that really just focuses on it. But one of the technology uses that they have is an app that if anyone sees a sign of loneliness, for example, someone's mail piling up, or they see a senior that in their building that they haven't heard noises or haven't seen anyone coming in and out. Basically, you can drop a pin on the app, so it's totally anonymous. And what it does is it alerts a social service agency to come by and just do a check. But it makes it everyone's responsibility to be like watching and paying attention. And so it doesn't mean you necessarily have to go knock on the door if you don't feel safe or whatever. But and there was all these examples of when people start to try to look for signs of loneliness, what they see and how they can communicate that.
Awesome.
I just would like to add in, yeah, thank you. Megan, thank you. I'd forgotten about the Minister on Aging. That was so awesome. And I did not know about that app. So, which is really the best point of this entire conversation for me, is we might have some phenomenal, amazing, wonderful organizations doing amazing things here, and how do we get better is what learning what best practices are outside of the here. So that's what I'm kind of walking away with this. How amazing would it be if there was someone who was appointed as the lead to address issues around aging that could truly, you know, affect change within our county or our country?
Yeah. Amy?
When I went to the ADRN meeting last month, there was a man who did a presentation on a program that has been developed in the United Kingdom for people who don't have computers and don't know how to use them. They have something that attaches to their television and they send a technician to hook it up, and they can have virtual visits with their healthcare providers and with their neighbors and with friends. And it's, I think the Area Agency on Disability and Aging is about to partner with them in some way. And it's, I mean, I was taken by it. It was just wonderful.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay, well, Jenna and I were kind of, we'll take all that in, and we kind of have to get going on cranking for next month to get whatever. We're going to see what kind of topic we can get people ready for October. So that will be October. So we'll keep you all posted. So hopefully we know something in the next week if we can. And then we'll work on November and December. So we'll just keep you all in the loop and ask for direction when we need it, and keep moving forward on getting the rest of the year scheduled for you. And let's shoot us an email if anything else comes up. You think of some organization or some new idea or something you want to learn about, just let us know. And just keep thinking about it, because this might be more things you want to learn and get into next year for 21. Okay, we're going to do a couple more kind of direct. We want to see some direction on a couple more things, and then we'll take a quick break just so people can get off the screen for about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and finish. So we did the focus update. We wanted to see, I'm just going to get all these on the screen here now. We wanted to see if there's other ways you want to be outreaching out to people, to groups that we don't typically. You have a pretty robust email distribution list that we've grown over the years. So people get informed of your meetings that way. We have a Facebook page that we try to regularly post relevant information and articles about. We, you know, have a connection with public health, and we've been connecting with the cities. Is there anything that you all have been thinking about that you would like us to do more about with our outreach? Is the question here. Nancy?
So I've been participating probably 3-4 times a week through the platform of Nextdoor. And it's a wonderful platform. As we were talking about the silver lining, as Tanya was talking about the silver lining, I thought, oh, wow, there's probably a lot of people. They use that platform to, you know, I'm missing a cat or, you know, can someone help me with yard work? But maybe, occasionally there would be public announcements from the city, from the state. They would come in and say, hey, you know, air quality is bad. So they use that as public announcement. So that would be a really interesting, a good kind of a high, not too high tech, but you know, it's like a good way to kind of reach out to people and maybe organize part of the disaster plan, like an evacuation. I was just thinking maybe, you know, through my own group, it's like, okay, so who would like to go and check on a senior during a disaster or something like that. I mean, it's just a seed of, you know, using that particular platform or whatever else is at our disposition to integrate a system so that nobody gets left behind.
Good idea. And the county does have a Nextdoor. We have a staffer that does it for the county, so we can easily provide her with information and she can post it out to all the accounts, the neighborhood accounts. So good idea. Amy, I'm just going to go down the line here.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I'm just going to go down the line. You're first.
Oh, okay. There's a really nice program called Map Your Neighborhood. And it's a program where people get six neighbors together. So there aren't too many people. And there's a presentation about how to connect with your neighbors. And they have something you can put in your window that says safe or need help. And there are people who are assigned tasks like I can knock down a door or I can check on Mary two doors down for me. And people have assignments for what to do during a disaster and they map their neighborhood. It's not a lot of houses, but it's enough people and enough people with assignments who can come to each other's aid. It's wonderful. And Nextdoor, at least my Nextdoor, covers much too big an area for something like that to happen.
Okay, thank you. Good sure. one. Anyone else? Chuck?
So I just wanted to kind of weigh in. I assume you were talking about Marilee McCall.
Yes.
And so she also, my wife and I attended one of the first Map Your Neighborhood sessions that was done back in March or April. It was real early. And Marilee was on that as well. And so she has the information on how to get that app and how to get that perhaps distributed within different neighborhoods in the county.
Great. And I think Franklin, yes?
To the point that Amy and Chuck were talking about, two things. The Vancouver Fire Department has a emergency preparedness program. I don't know if it's gone into extinction or not, but I'd be willing to check with them to see about updating it. It has a lot of the features that you were talking about, Amy, about being able to have people go around and have a sign or something that you can tell from the outside whether somebody needs assistance or not. Because in one of those situations, you know, the fire department, the police department are going to be so occupied that they won't be able to respond to anything individual for probably several days. And also, we need to have some kind of a visual, physical backup system in case we lose power so that the features of Nextdoor are not available to people. Some way to back that up so that people aren't just left out in the dark. There's also a local emergency planning committee that I've been a part of that deals with a whole different aspect in terms of, you know, hazardous waste materials and stuff like that. But they may have some features or systems that they'd be able to activate that might address some of those same things. So I'd be willing to check with them if that would help.
Sure. Thank you. Okay.
Let me add what Franklin just talked about. I attended that course about 8 years ago. It's put on by the fire department, but a 7-week course. And it's emergency preparedness to come into your respective neighborhood and assist an evacuation of people, in some cases assisting individuals that have a disability and evacuate them from the area. I have not seen that advertised at all, Franklin. I don't know whether they're still doing that program at all. It's an excellent program. As I say, it's community directed. And when you graduate from the program, you're supposed to go back into your neighborhood and what they call blueprint your neighborhood, your local neighborhood of the houses, who lives there and so forth, so you can know who lives there, so you can respond and in a disaster if they need some help. But yeah, if you'll follow up, Franklin, and see if they still offer that course, because I thought it was pretty good. But I, as I said, I haven't seen it advertised in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll follow up on that, Larry.
Okay, well, thank you all. I think it sounds like you all are very, and it's very appropriate right now to about disaster planning in older adults. So I think that's something that we need to kind of get our heads around and figure out who best to reach out to. And it sounds like we've got some people out there that's going to help us. So I mean, that's awesome. If there's other ways that you guys think about outreach, shoot us an email. I kind of want to keep going because I know we got more to cover. But just, you know, let us know if there's anything when you are thinking about how we're reaching out to the community. If there's something more we should be doing, just let us know and we'll work on that. The next one is the 2019 Healthy Communities and Report presentations. Like I mentioned at the beginning, we were going to put that as our joint City Council Commission on Aging meetings for this year. Typically in the previous years, we've sent out, you know, a commission member or two and staff to do a presentation to each of the cities. So we haven't given that annual report to the city councils. We haven't connected. We haven't provided it to them. So we wanted, as staff, we wanted to check in with you all on what you may want to do with this. And some options, you know, include, you know, since we're not doing the joint meetings, do you want to go back and just have staff to try to get on the city council's work session agendas for the rest of the year? You know, someone from the commission can, you know, volunteer, or two of you to come, you know, join Jenna and I, and we'll do a virtual meeting and do the update and provide them information about what y'all are doing now. Alternatively, we could do something even more simple. And do kind of just a memo of some sort, some communication that's with the annual report provided to the city councils, since we were kind of getting to the end of the year, and at least get that information to them. So kind of two different ways we can go about it, the way we have, or a more simple route in case we are going to see them again soon next year. So I'll open it up to suggestions on that.
So I'm going to suggest that we've got three meetings coming up that, based on this discussion, they're going to be pretty full. And I think I would almost, I'm jumping down to number four, because each of those three meetings, because of the COVID relationship and the importance of the topic, is almost an event in itself. I would maybe suggest we invite the media to join and watch our meetings, because I think some of the information that comes out of that will be extremely useful for maybe updates on reports that they've done. I'm also going to suggest that the city councils are heading into the budget season now, and they're going to be dealing with the COVID impact. So I don't know about the ability to get on any of their dockets for anything more than a 5-minute update. So we might want to consider just waiting until 2021 to kind of re-engage the city councils. And we can talk about it when we talk about our 2021 program. But I think at this point, they are so jammed with all the COVID-related stuff, the emergency proclamations because of the fires and budget, that I'm just not sure we're going to get their attention for the rest of the year.
Pam.
Given what Chuck just said, would it make sense to expedite our communication with them, like you said, Jackie, with a memo, just an update, here's what we've done and here's what we've been focusing on FYI.
Okay, anyone else? Franklin?
Could we do what Pam says, start off with the memo, but kind of leave an opening for us to come and either physically or you know, online through this system to have a face-to-face with them sometime in 2021?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
I think just a memo, it's, you know, to kind of give them a heads up, but I think a memo just kind of gets lost in the shuffle of all the other urgent things that are going on now. So at some point down the line, we can do a one or two person, you know, presentation or interaction with them. I think that would be very, very appropriate.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think those are great ideas. I think we don't have to make the big, we can't make the big hoopla that we have done in past years. And I think this is an appropriate year to downplay it, yet offer our support and anything that we can do. So I think you all had great ideas.
All right. Well, we'll put something together and we'll run it by Chuck and Larry, and then maybe get it off to the city council as just a follow up, as since we've reached out to them to schedule these meetings for this year that got canceled. So kind of circling back and letting them know, you know, this is what's going on, but we still wanted to provide what the update from last year. It's obviously not, you know, high priority right now with everything they're working on, but at least it connects us back with them and lets them know that we hope to come see them soon. Okay. The next one is that we typically always have an annual report, and this year is going to be a little bit different. So we just wanted to kind of, you know, talk about that. You know, we think we should do one, because we're going to have this, you know, 3 months of, you know, hearing from locally what's going on, and we may have some information and ideas to share. So we're thinking that, you know, it's definitely going to be a more scaled down version than what, you know, we've done in the past few years. But we still think it's important to have something put together of what you might come up with for recommendations or even just information. So that kind of leads us into the, you know, per the bylaws, I believe, you have a joint meeting with county council in January. Well, doesn't mean you have to if you all decide and check in with the council. So Jenna and I were thinking that and we're open to other suggestions, but if we have these 3 months of informational presentations and you all come up with something that you want to put in an annual report, it seems like we would need January to kind of solidify all of that. We wouldn't be really prepared to present something to the county council in January. So our idea is at least this is our proposal to you, is, you know, maybe we take January as another kind of mini retreat, review annual report information, what we learned, to prepare for potentially a February joint, probably remote, you know, meeting with council if they would so choose. So that's kind of, and then we would start the, you know, March would be our kickoff of the rest of for 2021. So that's kind of what we wanted to see what you all thought about that, just because things are a little different. And I think if we, you know, sent a request or a proposal to county council, you know, giving them this idea, I think they would be okay with that as well. But we want to see what the commission members think. Anyone want to start?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to start that. We are going to have at least one new county councilor starting in January, and they're going to need some time to kind of go through the learning curve and orientation. So yes, I think, I don't know if we need to take any official action per the bylaws to delay this until February, but I think it would be a good idea to do so.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'm gonna take it from that y'all are good with that idea. And if anything comes up, just let me know and let Jen and I know. But we'll kind of move forward with that idea. The last thing we have before we take a quick break is the event activity. We, you know, had to cancel the Healthy Community Summit. We have done, you know, in the past few years, some kind of culminating event. Any thoughts on you know, where we've been and or what you want to do in the future for this?
Yeah, I think I'm the one that asked to put this on. I'm going to suggest that we defer the major event to our 2021 discussion and go back to my previous suggestion of our last three meetings this year, I think, are going to be events unto themselves. So perhaps inviting the media to take part, and definitely making sure, I don't know if CVTV can actually broadcast recordings of our meetings, but hopefully they could find a way to do that.
We can check. We're not on their schedule for this year because we weren't going to be in the building, but we can see, we can ask, we can talk to them about it. Okay, Nancy.
I agree with just holding off on any events or activities until all this blows over, because we're kind of in emergency mode and we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I think it would be good to just give us all a little breathing room and not plan on things. And there's, you know, plenty of time for us to plan for next year. I mean, kind of, you know, but I mean, given how things are playing out right now, I think it's better to just wait and see. My two cents.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's take a little short break, about 5 minutes. So Jenna, what time is it here? 5:01. So can we do 4 minutes and get back at 5:05 so that we can get through the rest? And so stand up, go get some water, do what you need to do. We'll see you in a few.
And keep us moving so we're not on the call for too much longer. So this is Jenna. Hello, you all. It's been nice listening to the first part of the meeting. And Jackie and I are going to switch roles right now. So we're going to shift the conversation into planning for 2021. And this is really building off of what you've been talking about so far in the meeting. So before we go there, I just want to do a few reminders. One, up on the screen is this diagram that has the main topics covered in the Aging Readiness Plan. So I want to leave that up as a reminder. And then also, I don't know if you all noticed, but when you were looking at the agenda for this meeting, we did stick the commission's charge on the agenda, just as a reminder. That's what the Board of County Commissioners have charged you to do. And one of the main things is implementation of this Aging Readiness Plan. So I just bring that up as a reminder going into this conversation, because based on your charge, whatever it is you all decide you want to do next year, will somehow have to, and somehow has to link to this aging readiness plan. So I think with that, we have two main questions to answer. One is, what will be the commission's focus for 2021? And then the second is about how to structure ourselves how to structure yourselves for action related to that topic. So I'd like to just take that first question first and open it up for discussion. And I think there's been a lot of ideas already mentioned from your introductory comments, where a lot of you talked about isolation and connection with seniors, to there's been a lot of disaster response, you know, ideas that have been coming through. So now's really, I think, the time to draw on what you've heard each other say so far and start to formulate ideas about, you know, an overarching topic for 2021. And then if there's any additional specific things under a big topic, we can go there too. So why don't we open it up? If you want to raise your hand, I can call on you, and you know, let's start with, you know, the brainstorming of things that could be a main topic for 2021. Linda.
I have a question first. We never really did get to the advocacy part of this whole, did we ever, because of COVID, correct? We never did. Right. And that was going to be kind of the finishing touch. And although I don't think it should be the focus of this year, I do think it should be part of a strong part of this, because advocacy is really important, meeting our elected officials and engaging them somehow in something, you know, around this topic. I think that advocacy needs to be somehow threaded through this.
I just want to clarify that our 2020 topic was community engagement, which could have included advocacy, but that's the one that we kind of got derailed.
Right.
Because of COVID.
And it did, it was supposed to include advocacy, but it just, we never got to develop it. So
yeah.
Just a thought. I think that we do want to make sure that, you know, we connect with those, even if it's just us connecting with those people that are important to making change at a governmental higher level. That was my idea.
Okay. Thank you, Amy.
Well, I don't know if I have ideas as good as Linda, but I'll try. I'm the commission liaison to the Public Health Department, and I meet regularly, although it's gone from phone to Zoom to, well, it started with face-to-face meeting with David Hudson, who's there, who's in charge of community outreach for the Public Health Council. And he said they're working really hard on trying to reach hard-to-reach populations to teach them about masks and hand sanitizer and gloves. And it's been difficult with three populations. One is the Native American population. The second one, I think he said, was Latino. And the third, I don't remember. But his question to us was, do we have any interest in focusing on specific subgroups of seniors in terms of ethnicity, or do we not want to? And he said, I said, if you need a letter for a grant, let us know. But he's not focused on seniors specifically, but because he and I talk so regularly, he's starting to say, well, here's this large group of people who are not accepting the advice we're giving them about how to protect themselves from COVID. And there's a lot of seniors in this group. So that's an idea I had. Not an idea, a question. Is that something we want to do?
Okay, Pam?
Amy, did he give you any ideas of the subgroups he's talking about? Because I don't have a sense of who that might be in order to make any kind of a conversation about what we might want to do as a commission.
Well, I can circle back to him and ask, but I know one of them was Native Americans, and I'm not sure what the other two were. But I'll get back to you.
Linda?
Shy Linda had another idea. I remember when, maybe 15, 20 years ago, one of the ways that government wanted the community to understand about the needs of older people, especially with dementia, and signs that they would show, and they trained bus drivers and taxi drivers and banking tellers and so forth. And now I think about isolation and how our community partners that we interface with may not be attuned and signs, the soft signs of someone, you know, in feeling isolated or sad or depressed. I just thought of that, so I thought I'd mention that. Got it.
Okay. Yeah.
As we've talked about all these wonderful resources out there, it's really hard for me to get my hands around what I would call a hub, and then all the kind of like a spider web. So if we're talking about safety and protecting more the frail elderly, if you will, who are isolated and we have a disaster, where's the umbrella? It's hard for me. Is that something that we can be advocating about, is some kind of a network? I just don't have a good enough sense of what we have in the county to even to bring that up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think if you look at what Jackie's typing on the screen, if you think that's capturing it, I think we can. We can dive in more too as we get going further.
Yeah, there's.
I do. Can you hear me? Okay. Can you guys hear?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. My audio is coming in and out for me on my end. So if I freeze, sorry. So I'm going to build upon, I think, what Pam, what you're referring to. But the concept or the idea that I had is it always feels good when you're not alone, right? So if there are towns or neighborhoods that are doing the work, have taken the guidance and advice, and I believe that one was called out earlier in our call, and they've tried out these various ideas, then can we pair them with others who are inspired to want to do the same thing? So that there's like a mentorship. I don't know. I mean, if we can suggest this, promote this, or what this looks like, I'm going to call the card that I'm new here, so I'm still learning. But the idea really is, if you want to launch, how do you do this successfully? And do you do bite size? Do you do it big? So what is the true roadmap towards success? So it's twofold: one, buddy buddy, like a buddy system. Or a partnering between different parts of the county, if it's city, if it's literally like a neighborhood that wants to tackle this. And then the second is, should we be building that? What is a roadmap? You want to get started. Here's a really great suggestion on step number one, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Anyone
Can I be?
Oh, go ahead, Franklin. Your video is not on, so I did not realize. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. At the church that we attend, we have a group called OASIS, which is Older Americans Still in Service, that deals with issues just primarily for, senior citizens. And then also we have a Hispanic community. And we have the NAACP that we could send out information to say, if they have some access to elders in that particular community, you know, we could use that as a vehicle to connect with a fairly sizable number, either through this medium or others, to deal with some of the things that we're talking about. And I think it's important that we make these efforts to reach out to these particular communities.
Okay, thank you. Nancy.
Do we know if the existing established organizations such as FISH, such as Meals on Wheels, do they have like a cross referral kind of platform? Do they talk to each other? Because while I like the idea of mentorship, you know, for the people who want to like just not reinvent the wheel, that's a great way to get connected. But what about like, you know, an organization that is focused on food, another one that's focused on housing? And if they see someone who is in need that they don't provide service, then that they can just cross referral and have a more connected network instead of falling through the cracks. I don't know. Does anybody know?
I think that sounds like something you might be able to ask and learn more about this fall when we talk to some of those local service providers would be my guess. But
can I make a comment to that question?
Yeah.
This may be, Nancy, to your point, maybe an opportunity to bring in an organization or learn from an organization that does exactly what you're talking about. So this would be like it's a national organization, not local, but the Unite Us or NowPow is another organization. And they create those digital platforms that help connect community-based organizations, churches, any team that's trying to really help that community thrive. Those organizations help bring them together and make their help them be more efficient so they can serve even more folk.
Just to add some more information to that, that's been a real challenge for many of the food service organizations. For example, Food Bank, the FISH, Meals and Wheels. I think there's a lot of room for improvement there. For example, there is no trade-off of who is the clients, because there's a lot of duplication from one organization to the other organization. That's being looked at. I know it's a concern with the FISH pantry, because the food bank is making deliveries right now. They're doing drive deliveries. We don't do that in the FISH pantry, but we have drive-throughs where you can come and pick up food. So you have to look at that, and maybe that can be refined, and who's doing what to whom, and are we duplicating efforts in a lot of different areas? So it is an issue and a concern that the many of the organizations are aware of, and there is ongoing talks of how to make that better.
Let's go to Amy.
Just one quick thing about what Chuck was saying. Los Angeles, there were groups that put together training programs for people who might encounter older adults and need to help them and not know how. One group were gas meter readers and water meter readers or whatever they were doing, and bartenders and hairdressers. You know, there were other groups. The other thing I want to say is I was able to contact David on my cell phone, and Pam, the three communities, now I've lost it, hold on, were Russian-speaking, Hispanic, and Pacific Islanders, specifically Chukchi-speaking. I don't know what Chukchi is, but these Pacific Islanders speak that language. And he's made good inroads into the social structure of those three communities, and some of them think COVID is a hoax, and the Russians think COVID is another government trying to control them, and he's been having trouble. So if we can or want to help, that's available.
Okay. Linda?
It seems like with other topics that we've had someone from AARP, regional or national, they seem to do a lot of top-notch, you know, cutting edge kind of research within their base. And they seem to have some really good ideas for us on topics. So I really would like to connect with them somehow, as well as the speaker that we had, or at least connecting with her informally. Was it from University of Washington, Vancouver? She took a lot of data about gerontology and the community. And do you remember that person? I can't think of her name. Very interesting stuff. She might also be able to help us in whatever we do.
Thank you. And Chuck, I think your virtual hand is up.
My virtual hand is up, and I'm going to kind of bring this all back together. It's looking like our topic or our theme for next year is still going to be community engagement. And this to me is, you know, in 2020, our engagement was geographic. I'm looking here at engagement at a whole variety of levels, multicultural, people of color, people of, you know, socioeconomic layers. And so I think this is me kind of suggesting that we still keep the community engagement theme. We maybe instead of making it going council to council for each of our meetings, maybe we have a different topic within community engagement that deals with some of these communications, cultural, and, you know, low income need based discussions. And we can pick a topic, like I think we'll hear from the food banks when we have them come in the next month or two, that the Clark County Food Bank and the North Community Food Bank and those do have a network, and they connect with the various food pantries. So I think that to me is just taking our community engagement to a kind of a slightly different angle, but it's still falls under that same genre.
I think it's more also community re-engagement and the role and the game rules have changed. It really seems like that. I agree with what you're saying, but it's really re-engaging in new ways and learning to do things differently with some of the same resources that we have to work with.
Okay. What do you all think about Chuck's kind of high level community engagement, maybe engagement and re-engagement type topic that then is thinking about both how to do that engagement, like with specific groups and outreach with specific groups, but then also maybe getting at the variety of topics that have been coming up. How does that sound? Go ahead, Nancy.
Could you scroll back to that page where there were all the different topics that were at hand so we can look at it? Please. I mean, they all kind of tie into one another, right? Supportive and engagement and readiness and, I mean, awareness. So, I mean, I'm good with that. But, I mean, it does seem more to the point of community engagement. So.
Okay. Tanya?
A year from now, what does success look like for us? So if we're doing a year in review or maybe a year in December from now. So what does success look like? And I think that there's so much still to be done on community engagement. And, you know, will we feel like, wow, we accomplished so much with that focus? Not to put any thought or anything.
Go ahead, Pam.
It seems big to me. I mean, there's just so many threads running through here. Are there one or two threads we want to look at? To Tanya's point, a year from now, when we look back, what can we say we accomplished? So do we want to advocate for networking among the organizations that provide food for older people? Do we want to advocate for something else? I'm trying to pull together Linda's point about advocacy and how important that is with some of these threads we're talking about, so we can have some goals in that we can reach, that are reachable.
All right. Amy, I see your virtual hand up. I'm not sure if that's new or not. I didn't know if you had anything to say.
I'm going to suggest that Amy's hand is a virtual old hand or old virtual hand. I guess looking at the hour, you know, we're still have a few more agenda items to go, and we actually have two members of the public now down to one that have been on with us. We had talked about having a follow-up retreat in January. Do you have enough to package something and come up with some ideas, Jackie and Jenna, that you could present if we have a January retreat?
I think Jackie, I'll look to you as well, but I think based off of what you all have said, we have maybe a very broad community engagement topic. And trying to sort of pull out some of the threads of what's been coming up in the conversation, try to come back to you all with a draft proposal of, like, what does that look like? And I think maybe that can also help get at the goals piece of, like, I think we need to figure out a structure, right, and play with some of your ideas. So I think that's something we can definitely work on, and it makes for more questions on how to get it more focused and honed in. I would also add that I think depending on your desired approach for doing this work, so if, for instance, it involves inviting people to speak to you, we will probably need to speed up the timeline in that, you know, probably the next couple meetings, we may have to do some iterations of that draft so that it gives us time going into 2021 to get people lined up, if that's the approach you all want to take. But it does, I think we can probably work with what you've given us so far. Jackie, would you add anything to that?
No, I think it's going to kind of evolve. And as we have more discussions this year, I think we can kind of get a better idea of how we can set ourselves up for next year. So I think if we have it all, I think maybe every month, maybe we add it to the agenda to maybe discuss, and then we can finalize by the end of the year.
So we could add this to our work session agendas for the next 3 months and flesh it out. Because I think my concern is we got a pretty broad area to work here, and not a lot of bandwidth to do it. And so I think there are going to be needing to be some focus items just as we try to figure out what we want to achieve. I like the idea of setting up performance or measures of success as part of this discussion.
I wanted to add something. I also don't want us to forget about some of the challenges now that may be different in terms of the transportation. for, I, you know, we studied that pretty good and had some great ideas and so forth, but the transportation, I think some of that what needs to be folded into this as well. And we have some experts right here.
I think the other thing is, you know, we had talked, when Gary Albrecht was on last month, we talked about getting a transportation system plan update and actually being involved with that. I think you also noted that some of the jurisdictions are doing housing action plans, and the county's doing one, Battleground's doing one, Camas is doing one, there might be one or two others. So perhaps, and those would be opportunities for us to actually be involved in those processes as well. So perhaps as part of that, Jackie, if you could help us understand what processes are going on where there are opportunities for us to engage, but we don't want the window to close so we miss those opportunities to engage.
Sure. Good. Okay, I think we have some things to work on, definitely, and then the last piece, I think, Jenna, with the how do we want to structure ourselves, I think we'll have to kind of get to that as we finalize what that is.
Okay.
Does that make
sense? Yes, I think that sounds good. So we will leave this topic here, but come back and work on it over the next couple months. And yeah, I think you've given us a lot to work with. So why don't we move on to the next topic? These last items are a little bit more logistical in nature, and just want to fold them in before we sign off this evening. In the past, there's been some opportunities to serve as a liaison between the Commission on Aging and some other groups in the community. Wanted to give an opportunity for folks who are in those roles now to just give a quick explanation of what it is you've been doing. If you think it's something you would recommend that continues. And then the third piece is, if that is something you would like to continue doing, or if you'd like to offer it up to others in the group. So, Amy, I think you have a few roles right now. Do you want to start and just talk about the roles that you are currently in?
Okay, I'd like to make a documentary about, this is a different question. The Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities Resource Network is a group of 30, 40, 50 people who come together, each representing, for the most part, a different nonprofit or programs within for-profit. I come representing the commission, and they always have programs, and the programs are excellent. Like this last time, it was the man who was talking about installing the television systems so people can communicate with their doctors and friends without having a computer or computer knowledge. There have been lots of different presentations, and they've been good. And the only difficulty is that it's at 8:30 in the morning in Southeast Vancouver, and I live in Northwest Vancouver, but it's not been a problem for the last 10 months, so I don't drive there. So if you're willing to get up a little early and learn some things and bring the commission to all these people who provide services to disabled and seniors through so many different organizations, mostly nonprofits, and they're just very good. And I've taken down names of people a few times and met for lunch and gotten to know some people. It's good networking. And the person who runs the meetings is Christina Manieris, who is a friend of this commission, and she's very good and very helpful. I would like to not continue in my liaison role for that council. The second group I liaise with is the Clark County Public Health It started out as a monthly meeting at the VA that started 15 minutes after our meetings were finished at the public service building. So that was impressive. And I talked to David Hudson, and he and I met in his office for an hour and had lots of good meetings of the mind. And we decided we would have a monthly phone call. And that's how he tells me what they're doing, and we support what we can. And they do a lot of grant writing, and they get a lot of grants, and they do a lot of good work for all populations of of the public in Vancouver. But he says because of our connection, he's looking at older adults more. They used to look at public health for children more. Children, pregnant women, that's what they focused on. So I'd like to keep that position.
Okay, thanks, Amy. And then Linda, I think if you don't mind just sharing a little bit of history with the Area Agency on Aging and Disability, the Advisory Council.
Right.
And just why that happened.
Yep, surely. First of all, I did serve on the ADRN, the area, the Aging and Disabilities Resource Network, and I totally agree with Amy. That is a wonderful opportunity. You do hear a lot of interesting ideas and things that are happening. I remember hearing about ambulance drivers they're called a lot to homes of seniors and the things that they were seeing and the things that they wanted to do extra. Just a lot of people who care a lot from a variety of walks of life. So I encourage anyone. I really enjoyed my time doing that. The Aging and Disabilities Advisory Council, or Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities Advisory Council, consists of people from several counties, like five counties or something. They have representatives from all of them, and they move their meeting around. And I had gone by myself for a while, and then another Marjorie and I went, and it became that it seemed a lot of things that didn't relate to us. So what's happening now is I receive the, and you probably maybe do too, Amy. I'm not sure if you receive the agenda, because they meet virtually anyway. And so, and I think that someone should receive the agenda. And if it looks like there's going to be something on the agenda, because they do a lot that obviously has to do with our focus group, then you could choose to participate. They're a lovely bunch. They always have a food, you know, like Costco things and I'll eat anything. And so I don't want to lose touch. And they're quite an advocate for this group as we are for them. So I think that I think someone would really enjoy, you know, just at least being that contact. And they're so good about contacting me every month. And I would be glad to make that introduction and transition to someone else, should someone else wish to take that on.
Okay. So maybe based on, before we sort of see if anyone is interested in some of those roles, I guess the other question is, are there any other groups that you think commission members should be considering? If there's anyone else anyone's thought of for potential liaison with the commission that you want to bring up?
I'm thinking we should connect with NAMI, or a mental health type organization, because we're looking a lot at isolation. And we talked about this also when we were looking at suicide rates among older Americans and so forth. So I really think we should have a presence in the room, or in the Zoom room, in that topic.
So, Jana, I'm going to also jump in here. I reached out to Colleen Kuhn of Human Services Council to get ready for this meeting, because remember, she came to last year, one of our work sessions last year, and asked for us to find somebody to get involved with that organization. Linda, I believe you are on the board for the HSC. There's also a group called the Accessible Transportation Coalition, which is not the board, it's a separate committee of the Human Services Council, but those are two that Colleen suggested that we could put on the possible list.
Okay. So I guess the question for the group is, you know, is there anyone interested in taking on any of those roles? I guess the other question is if you want to think about it, and what Jackie and I would send you, you know, a link to the webpage for the group or anything like that, would that be helpful? I guess now would be the time to raise that so we know if there's any connecting of dots that we need to do. Okay. All right. I'm seeing no volunteers at the moment. So we'll keep moving, but if anyone changes their mind or wants to learn more, let us know. All right.
And if you could send out a list for our next month's meeting, maybe we could have a follow-up discussion at the work session. I think some of us are experiencing brain overload with all this information. It's great information, but it's right before dinner time, so there's always a danger in that. But we could, I think we might have some volunteers, including myself, next month.
Okay.
And there's also an opportunity when you send that list out to websites. So you can go on the website and visit that, what their mission is, who's on the board there, and so forth. But I think that would provide more information to help make a decision.
Great, sounds good. Okay, so last topic we had to add this to the retreat agenda to just keep things moving. Linda, can you give us a quick recap of Silver Citizen Award and how the nominee was selected?
Right, I'd be glad to. I believe it was just, was it Amy and myself and staff that were on that committee, or am I forgetting someone? Is that right?
Megan too. Megan.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. That's right. Didn't we meet at your house? Okay. Well, all of us met and we looked through, I believe there were 8 maybe nominations, and they were all very, very, very interesting and all deserving. We ended up choosing one that had, I can say her name, everyone got this, correct? And her name is Evelyn Hallett, and she's 93 years old, and you have some information on her. She is absolutely a star, has participated in many organizations over her life, and the fact that she's so active now is just... makes me look really bad. So I need to get my game up. But she has contributed a lot, starting the food assistance program for the homeless veterans living on the VA campus in Vancouver, works for Fish, organizing food bags, taking veterans residents on trips, worked for the city's Vancouver Park and Rec. She just had a lot of great experience, and we just felt she was very deserving. And so I would like to make the recommendation that we move forward with this candidate for the Silver Citizen Award.
So I'll take over as chair. This is a potential action item. I do want to note that for the order, we did put this as an action item and notice it on our agenda. I'm going to ask Jackie to talk a little bit about the logistics and then ask the other two committee members if they have anything to add to what Linda has just said.
Chuck, can you repeat that? You want to
What are the logistics if we vote on this recommendation this month, and what happens from here?
Okay, yeah. So once you all make your official approval of the recommendation for the Silver Citizen Award, the next step would, as we had discussed in our August meeting, was that we would do the presentation of the award in November. So that gives us a couple months to do the press and get the logistics for the award ready for a virtual presentation in November.
Hey, thank you. So anybody else who's on the evaluation or selection committee, do you have anything else to add, or does anybody else have any input on the nomination of Evelyn for Silver Citizen Award?
Linda gave a very good presentation. I have nothing more to add.
Megan?
Same for me, nothing to add.
Okay, any other comments?
Actually, I have one question. Do we need the input, permission, anything of the county council to make this award?
My understanding is this is our award, and so we would be making that decision tonight.
Okay. I sometimes get confused between the difference of we are us and we are them.
Yeah, they're aware of it, and this is an award coming from you all, from the commission. Okay. Itself.
Good.
Franklin.
In the spirit of inclusiveness, is there any way that we can at least mention the other candidates? Because there's a lot of good work being done, and at least to give them at least a passing mention to possibly inspire more applicants next year, more participants next year.
Yes, Linda, I believe we had, when we met way back when, I believe we had a list of who had been considered and nominated.
Right.
That was so long ago, I don't remember what all we talked about.
We did talk about maybe a certificate of participation or consideration, didn't we, Jackie, Jenna?
I think
could it was we still do that?
Yeah, honorable mention, I think, is what I would suggest.
Whatever sounds great. I think it would be good.
This is reminding me of the Rose Queen and the Princesses.
But I think that's a good point, Franklin. I think we should at least have some mention of the others who were considered. Any other comments?
Does everybody hear distortion when Chuck speaks? I have trouble sorting
yeah,
it out.
I'm hearing distortion when others speak. So I think we've got, I think we got issues with our connection here.
Okay.
So all those, do we have a motion? We had a recommendation. We have a motion to award the Silver Citizen Award to Evelyn Hallett.
I motion.
I second.
Oh, okay.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Aye. Abstentions? It's unanimous. And we have our first Silver Citizen Award recipient. Yay.
Do we have an age floor for this award? Does someone have to be at least some age?
65.
Oh, so I could get the award tomorrow. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. Get working, Amy.
Yeah, get on it. I have to do some more volunteer work.
Let's discuss that now.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm seeing you. We have one other agenda item. Is there anything else to discuss?
I'd like to discuss that we have no other items to discuss.
Franklin had his hand up.
Yes, Franklin.
I just had a question. Is there going to be any press coverage or any placement of an article in the Columbian or something?
Yes, we are working on some ideas. I don't want to put it out there yet because I don't want to try to help it. We've got some things that work, and we definitely will reach out to our press and get the word out when we're ready to promote for the November meeting.
All right. Anybody else have no other items to discuss?
Nancy has.
I do. I've been waving my hand. Hi.
All right. Sorry, Nancy.
That's all right. To go back to Evelyn, maybe it would be a good format to like for the runner up. And I'm assuming there'd be like two, three runner ups and then her to read a little bio and little like list of accomplishment. And then when it comes to Evelyn, maybe, and I don't know, I'm adding workload to you and Jenna and Jackie, but to have some kind of like a slideshow or something set to music. I mean, it could be very simple, just like a little presentation point. You know, she started here and she grew up there and then this is what she did and the list of accomplishments and some photos. I think that would really kind of exalt her, you know, and honor her accomplishments. What do you guys think about that? Instead of just like, here, you are our award and here is the certificate.
Well, I didn't want to blow it, but we got something similar. That's kind of what we're working on. So we're hoping to get some help for with our partners here at the county that do those kinds of stuff to see if they can produce something for us.
All right. Do I see any other hands? I don't see any virtual hands. Are there any physical hands for other items?
Just one quick thing.
Yes.
One quick thing. We're updating the webpage for the member bios. So I reached out to Tanya. So I've worked with her on updating her or getting hers up there. So we're going to send that out back out to everybody, the link. Just take a look and make sure everything's still how you like it and how you want it. And if you have edits, just send them back and we'll do it. And the county has, we just updated the website, so it looks a little different. Should have the same kind of functionalities, but if there's something you can't find that you used to find, just let me know and I'll help you out with it and get that. But that's all I have.
All right. I do want to circle back to something Franklin mentioned early on, and that is, do we have a way to get to know our fellow commissioners? Maybe a 5-minute, who am I? I know we had talked about that. Some of us in the smaller groups had talked about doing that. So I would like to put that on the work session. How do we do something like that as part of our agenda so we get to know our, yes, I agree. It would really be nice to get to know our fellow commissioners. So we'll have a discussion about how we're going to do that at next month's meeting. I do want to, I think that is it. I don't see any other physical hands. I see a lot of head nods. I'd like to thank those from the public who did join us today. We had two. And thank you for staying with us. And I hope you come back next month. So with that, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned and thank you very much for your time. Thank you, staff, for all that you've put into this. And good night, everybody. Stay safe.
Thank you, Jenna and Jacqueline. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.